Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a U.S. military veteran turned coach from Cleveland, Ohio, USA, Tracy Fisher. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Tracy is the founder of The Wellness Coach. She's the host of a podcast, which is titled The Healthy Leader. And as I mentioned, she's a U.S. military veteran. So Tracy, let's start talking about The Wellness Coach. But before I get into anything, let me ask you, what did the U.S. Army teach you about coaching and wellness?
Well, that's a great question. And I would have to tell you that the very first thing that I probably did not even appreciate until I was gone was the power of connection and connecting with other people and relationships and having a higher purpose, working together for a mission that is bigger than you. And so again, honestly, I really didn't appreciate that until many years later. But now as I work with more veterans, I'm recognizing that that not only fuels the work that I do, it fuels me connecting. And I know that you are familiar with that as well.
Absolutely. I am. And you know, I've not served in the Army, but my father was a two-star general. So therefore, I've grown up in an Army environment.
Right. So you get it.
But tell me, Tracy, two separate questions. What led you to join the Army? And then what made you become a coach?
So for the first question, honestly, in terms of joining the Army, my parents were separated growing up and I was on my way to University of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I got a little postcard in the mail that said, hey, we'd love for you to come play soccer for the United States Military Academy. I had no interest whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I threw it in the garbage. And my mom, she said, whoa, wait a second. Okay. And she pulled it out. And so we started researching it. And really, I did not know a whole lot about it when I first started. And then it became a little bit of a challenge and intriguing. And so I went to the military academy. And that's really how it started, because I played soccer.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, and which are the areas that you served in?
I was in aviation. I was a helicopter pilot.
Wow. Well, thank you for everything that you've done, you know, for so many people. That's, you know, I have a lot of respect for Army veterans. So wonderful. And then what made you decide to take coaching as the next career?
So in between being in the military and moving into coaching, I really was a personal trainer. I was into fitness. So when I got out of the military, I was either going to become a unity minister with the church. I was very involved in my spiritual life and still am. And I also was very intrigued by the fitness aspect. And honestly, when I was in the military, it's a requirement for you to be healthy and fit. And so I didn't really, again, appreciate it until I got out and had three kids under the age of five. And my respite was the gym. And I loved it so much. I was like, okay, I am going to become a personal trainer. And so I created my first company. It's Total Customized Fitness, which kind of combined the spiritual holistic aspect of helping people with their bodies, the vessel of their souls, and really focused in on the physical piece. And I did that for 20 plus years. I still do that. I still have Total Customized Fitness. And then the way that it really segued into full-time coaching and executive wellness coaching was recognizing that just because you have the quote unquote solution to physical wellness, that's what I call physical health and energy and performance, just because you know what to do doesn't mean that you're going to do it.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so that was true for me as well. Right. And with the people that I worked with. So that is when I went back to school and did the executive health and wellness coaching. And now, so I combine basically the physical wellness with the mental and emotional well-being. Those are the two specific words I use to create well-beingness. And that's my model, well-beingness. So that's how I got into it. And I love
Amazing. So tell me, Tracy, how does a fit and well leader differ from an unfit and unwell leader? And help me understand this maybe with one of some examples.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's interesting for that particular question, I have to explain some vernacular and the way mm-hmm. that I talk about it. And so first of all, again, on that wellness side, mm-hmm. on that fitness side, I think generally people think physical health mm-hmm. and wellness. So there's that aspect of it Correct. For sure. Correct. And then there's the well-being, the Correct. Mental and the emotional aspect of it. Correct. And so you have somebody who has wellness and they have well-being, clearly, you know, that they're not separated, but it actually impacts your performance. Mm. Hands down, we know that the way that yep. you feel impacts the way that you integrate and the way that you share with other people. So if you have that, you're at your best optimally, personally, and then also, you know, as you lead others. So I think that that's, it's interesting. I was just listening, preparing for an emotional intelligence podcast, and they were talking mm-hmm. about the two key areas of self-awareness and mm-hmm. self-management.
Right.
And so I feel like when you are, in your terms, fit and well, in my mm-hmm. terms, well, wellness and have well-being, mm-hmm. you have self-awareness. And when you have self-awareness, you can self-manage. And so to me, that's self-leadership. And when you can do that, you can see it in other people, you can lead better, and you can choose any example, communication, being decisive. I mean, you know the deal, right, Ash?
No, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But you know, you also been speaking about the healthy leader well-beingness concept. Mm-hmm. And you just spoke a little bit about self-leadership, but you have, the whole concept has got multiple factors, you know, and when I was reading about you, self-leadership, commitment at your core, a personalized blueprint, mental agility. I'd love to hear from you about each one of these and how you address these challenges amongst your clients.
That is a big question, right?
Absolutely. And we have all the time.
We have all the time. Well, so here's the good news is that it is a big question and it needs to be customized to whatever's going on in your life, what your schedule is like, your lifestyle, what your current health is like. Are you trying to start a new business? Are you trying to just manage your own stress levels? Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you caring for teens? Like there's just unlimited ways. So that is why I created the well-beingness model. And so that does specifically combine wellness and well-being. And literally I've just cleaned it into a framework. And the way that I work with people is we go through six very specific steps in terms of what is your vision, what really is important to you in terms of how you envision your life, dream a little bit. And then I simplify that by saying specifically, how do you dream in terms of your relationships professionally or publicly, your relationships personally, and then your relationship with yourself. And so your relationship with yourself is that self-leadership. So we just clean all that up. That's the first step. And then there are five more steps that people go through that are just really clean about what am I trying to create? What are the results and what are the steps? And so as you referenced, commitment at your core is the way that I think about that. And I think this is an important aspect for everyone. And it really ties together basically the three main steps that I use are the ideas that commitment, that word, there's two syllables, has a mentation in it, a thought. Like I'm going to decide that I'm committed to this promotion, to this weight loss, to my children, to this vision. And then there's the commit in your heart.
Correct.
So there's two aspects of it.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I never thought of commitment in two words, but thank you for explaining it.
Yeah. And that really is the core literally of the work that I do with people is that, yes, there's an action, there's a result, there's your vision. And then the initial way that we create it is through your own thoughts and can you create the energy to take your action? And literally that's it. We go through those steps over and over and over again. What are you thinking? How are you emoting? And what are you doing? That's
wonderful, it. Wonderful. Wonderful. And then you want to make a personalized blueprint, is it?
And the blueprint has that integrated. The blueprint is literally those same six steps. What are your vision? What are the results you're trying to create? That's the second step. What are the actions let me back up. The third step is recognizing your current environment. I call that X marks the spot. And then you identify your actions, and we always start with wellness. What are your wellness actions? And so the blueprint, again, we take, there's so many things that you can do for your wellness. And so what I've done is truncated that into three energy sources. How do you fuel your body and your mind? How do you rest it? And how do you move it? And that's everything that you can do for your mind and your body, meditate, go to the gym, eat right, have eye contact, fuel, rest, move. So you identify your action. That's part of your blueprint. And then of course, the fifth step is what we just talked about in terms of managing your mind and your emotions, creating your well-being. And then the sixth one is the most important one and the one that lasts the longest. And that's daring to practice, to literally take your blueprint and intersect that with specific times on your calendar, specific moments in your life, and specific daily practices. So that's pretty much it. I mean, it's simple, and then we get to practice it.
Amazing. You know, on a lighter note, there was this, there's this old saying of, by Mark Twain, who said, every time I feel like exercising, I lie down till the feeling passes.
So,
I thought I must tell you this because you're obviously such a fit individual and you're telling so many different people. Tracy, moving on again, you know, when you talk about the model and you call it the superhuman tool, what does that mean?
Yeah, so it literally is that that model, that superhuman tool literally is, again, it's those six steps. And it's superhuman, I believe, because I say superhuman, and I really should say human being super, because it takes the aspects of living on this horizontal plane and the things that we need to do to take care of our physical organisms, our brain and our body. We take that and we get very clear about what those are. And I think sometimes, because there's so much going on, that it is sometimes hard to do that meta awareness and kind of back up and say, okay, let's just clean this up. Get really precise about what are those things. And then the being part, the super being part is then, okay, now that I know what it is to actually implement it. And that is really why the sixth step is daring to practice. Because as I said, knowing what to do is one thing and creating it and getting clear. And then in those moments, those little moments in time, being conscious of them. I mean, that's the work, as you know, right? That's the work of being present, being conscious. That's superhuman.
How interesting. And yet one of the biggest challenges, and I know I face this every time I wanted to get fit, is, you know, you start off on a particular program and, you know, before you know it, you've given it all up and you've slipped back.
Right, right.
What steps do you take to encourage your coaches to stay the course?
Well, the solution is in the question that you asked and the way that you asked it. You said, before you know it. And that's the thing, is to, first and foremost, we have a something I created called the 3D methodology, which is before you know it, as you know it, as you discover it, and you get conscious of those, again, those moments of when you start to, when your brain starts to say, ah, maybe not today, or you've been so good this week. And to even be aware of that is really that same key of commitment, right? Being aware of when your energy source starts to dissipate. So the very first thing we do, and it's in this, in those, and it's, and again, it's embedded in that model, is to be aware of your mind and your emotions and your actions in that precise moment. And it's very easy for busy executives to say, oh, no, no, I don't have time. I don't have time. And it is also very simple to take a moment, change your consciousness. And even if you're just practicing shifting that, then that's the, then that is the segue to the action piece, just really getting conscious. And then the second piece is then, of course, designing your plan. And then the third is daring to be present.
Amazing. Because one of the words that seems to be very common every time one comes into a discussion on wellness is tomorrow. You know, let me do whatever I want to do today. I'll start tomorrow. And that tomorrow never comes. So I'm so happy that, you know, you're there to remind everyone and tell people that, okay, get on with it. But another question that I
have. Get on with it.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, get on with it. And then also, again, first and foremost is to, and this is really the piece I think that is missing in many programs is to say, okay, what is going on? Why am I really craving alcohol, food, social media, working, whatever it is, and to pause in that moment and to say, like, really, what is going on? And that's the piece that is difficult. It's simple, but flipping on the light in there and seeing, you know, I'm actually feeling bored. I'm not satisfied with my job. I'm not satisfied in this relationship or whatever is going on. That takes a lot of courage to go within and pause for a moment and say, what is it that I'm putting ahead of this? And what am I feeling right now? And many people don't want to feel what they're feeling. They like want to move on.
And my next question to Tracy is, you know, we've just started to come out of the pandemic, and I've heard very, you know, diametrically opposite views. Some people said we put on a hell of a lot of weight in the pandemic,
right?
And others said we, ma'am, you know, we stuck to a very clear and strong wellness regime. I'd love to get your perspective on what has your experience been with regard to well-beingness during the pandemic.
Both. Absolutely. And it depends on your situation and your culture and your circumstances and how you were impacted by that. And this is a great segue into one of, I think, the most important things that I have learned on this journey and that I've integrated into the model. It's going to be a simple concept, but it's not necessarily easy to accept. And that is, I call it X marks the spot. That's step three, like recognizing what is. So what has been is this pandemic and shutting down and all sorts of things. We've got lots of things going on in the world right now. And I call those X's. That's the external circumstance. And in the midst of all of that, that's the external environment. We still have control over our internal environment and what we choose to make that external environment mean and how we are going to think about it, first and foremost, how we're going to think about it and how we want to feel about it. Do we want to feel like a victim and that we have no control over it and that this is horrible? And sometimes we do feel like that because we get to, I call it going in the cave, just like get it off your chest. Like that's what's going on. But do we want to hang out there? Or would we, in your words, like to get on with it? And the truth is it's gotta be your decision. And so one of the things I do when I work with people is I talk with them and I ascertain, like, are you ready to get on with it? Or do you want to kind of sit there for a little bit? And we can do both, but eventually we got to get on with it if you want to. And so I think it's very much an individual journey for sure.
Well said. So now let me move to your podcast. You know, you have a podcast titled The Healthy Leader Podcast. Tell me a little bit about this podcast and what made you start it.
So my podcast is a baby podcast compared to yours.
That's okay.
I just started and the reason that I started with it, and congratulations on your success, because it's no easy. You have quite the system down now. And for me, I am still working through it and figuring out, you know, what I'm doing. So I'm only doing it once every 2 weeks. And the reason that I started it is because not everybody is into one-on-one coaching or is in a corporate setting where they can work with me. And I'm just now launching something called the Inner Circle so that people can go onto the online course and get all the stuff that we're talking about and then become a part of the Inner Circle where we do group coaching. And part of it, so that's all expanding the services because I do want to serve the greater community. And these concepts are simple and it takes practice to integrate them into your own lives. So to get back to your question, I started the podcast so that I could share some of those insights and share how I do work and with individuals. And some of these, you know, saying that the external circumstances are neutral is a little alarming. And so I started the podcast to start to share that and how we can integrate the concepts without even needing to do one-on-one coaching. You can integrate them and be inspired and integrate them into your lives pretty simply. And I'll end with that, but that's an important piece to the way that I do things. I almost do everything in threes. my model has 6 steps to it. There's a 3D methodology and I do it and I'm a visual learner so that somebody can hear what's going on quickly. And then they can implement that almost immediately because we're busy.
Wonderful. So, Tracy, you have time for one more question. And yes, this is for the many, many viewers and listeners who will listen to our conversation. What are the three things you want the viewers and listeners to take away about well-beingness from our conversation?
I think that number one would be that you are the expert of you. And that you know the answers to what it is that you should be doing, and to really kind of block out the noise, block out that external environment, and to go within and to trust yourself. So I think that that would be the first. And then the second thing that I think sometimes is difficult to do as adults is to dare to dream, to dare to think, with the time I have left on this planet, what would be amazing? What vision would I want to create? And then who do I get to be to create that? Like, what is the state of my health and wellness? Not because I should lose weight or I should stop drinking or I should spend time with my family, but what would, what could I create in my own body that would just feel really good for me so that I could create that in my life and begin to live it today, right now, in this moment. So dare to dream about that. And then the third thing is to not complicate it. To pick one little thing to do, right? That's that step to do. And then to just watch that. It doesn't have to be big. Just a small movement to watch how you integrate and how you play in your own life. And to do that, I'll share this leadership mantra: with clarity in your mind, compassion in your heart, and courage in your step, as you are just curious about your own life, and to be kind to yourself in the midst of it.
Wow. You are the expert of you. Dare to dream and don't complicate.
Yes.
On that note, Tracy, thank you for this absolutely incredible conversation. I mean, I must compliment you at the way you have reinvented yourself from being a US military veteran, and you said a helicopter pilot, into not just a fitness guru, but a well-beingness coach.
And, thank you.
Thank you for speaking to me at such length about your journey, about all the wonderful things that you're doing to help others. And thank you for all your wellness mantras. So thank you again and good luck.
Thank you, Ash. Thank you. And congratulations on your success as well.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.